When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? The 49ers, man, did get blown out, but it sure as hell felt like it. The 49ers lose to the Chiefs, and I'm laughing because I'm sad inside. This is going to be a rough episode, 28-18. And like, yeah, a 10-point loss at home is bad, especially when you are favored. But the way that that game played out, oh my gosh, way worse than, you know, what the score was. So this is not going to be a fun episode. This is going to be, you know, we call these therapy or celebration. There's not much to celebrate. Really not. You know, we'll talk about Ricky Pearsall being back and playing. You know, I think that's one thing that can be celebrated. But there's a lot more, not only like criticism, but like red flags, right? You guys watch Love is Blind. My wife makes me watch it. I actually like it, but whatever. There's red flags with this team. And, you know, all week and all season, I've talked about how the Chiefs game is not imperative to the 2024 season. It's not. It's not a division game. It's not a conference game. It's not. It really, really isn't. And at the end of the day, this isn't going to play a factor into, do the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl or not, or even the playoffs, which that's kind of where we're at. The way you lose games, what you put on tape and what you demonstrate to the NFL, this was the NFL game of the week. Every single team, every single TV set in the United States had this game. This was it. And you went out there and showed everybody that you are soft, you are undisciplined, and when the game is on the line, you let up. Offense, defense, special teams. So, like, my concern, and yeah, we'll talk about the injuries, we'll talk about the penalties or lack thereof, we'll talk about missed assignments, we'll talk about Brock Purdy having his worst game, I think, of his career. I think this is Brock Purdy's worst game I've ever seen. A lot of people are going to say the Ravens with the interceptions. I get that. But, like, this game sucked for Brock Purdy. And if you're one of those people that's like, oh, if he says something bad about the player I like, I'm going to be offended. I'm telling you right now, this ain't going to be the show for you. I ain't even been drinking. I stayed home with the family. I tried to behave. I didn't even go out today. Haven't even been drinking. But I'm telling you, this ain't going to be nice. This ain't going to be PG. So if your feelings get hurt, if a certain player is criticized, I'm sorry. My intention is not to offend you or to upset you, but you're wrong today, because criticism and being offended needs to happen. So let's talk about it, and we'll start with it. Let's talk about probably the only positive. Shout out to Poison Protector. The only thing that made my red and gold heart happy this game was seeing 14 Ricky Pearsall make a catch. Bless him. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall, he had two catches for 11 yards on 7 targets. And, you know, 50 days from being shot, unbelievable. He was out there the very first series, the very first third down. Great. Like some of the routes that he did. Didn't think it was a particularly bad game. And it's huge. We got to have him back now. We got to, because all of our wide receivers are hurt or sick. Oh, dude, I'm going to lose my mind whenever I talk about Debo. But even Ricky Pearsall, there were two targets on third downs where Ricky Pearsall wasn't even looking for the ball. That dude running around like Stevie Wonder out there. Like, ball's coming your way, bud. You got to look to the ball. Now, Ricky Pearsall missed all of training camp, missed all of preseason, not with the gunshot wound, with a hamstring and a shoulder. That dude had practiced. And so to put him out there, I like it. but there were always going to be communication errors. And you were thinking, oh, this dude's going to be, you know, he'll rotate in as that third wide receiver. Then Debo gets sick, and then Ayuk gets broken in half. So now he's got to be out there. And I'm glad that they put him out there, but, like, man, not a good positive game. It's just not on the same page as Brock Purdy. Just not. And not understanding hot reads, not understanding hot routes. Man, they're blitzing. We're getting a call. Like, I got to look for the damn ball. Is it on? Is it, you know, is this game on Ricky Pearsall? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying the one positive of, man, this is so cool. Love seeing Ricky Pearsall play. But, like, even that, like, it's just like, man, dude, we got a guy out there that don't even know what's going on. He just haven't practiced. Ain't played. He's been getting all the mental reps. But mentally, you can't throw a pass to Stevie Wonder, not looking for the ball. Like, you can't do that. So, that's frustrating. I'm so glad he's back and moving forward. He has to be a part of our plans. Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. The injury was awful. Terrible. And kind of best case scenario is going to be kind of what happened to Jordan Love with it's like an MCL or like a PCL sprain. Best case scenario is a month. More likely done for the year. We'll have to see. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just telling you the way that knee went, the way they checked his knee on the field, they were doing the ACL check, the way they go straight to the blue tent, the way they go straight to the cart, and he's pointing at his knee, shaking his head, no. Best case month, all likelihood, probably season. What does that mean moving forward? Now, was Ayuk good? No, Ayuk was terrible. Probably had the worst drop of the game early on. And Brock Purdy's sucking. Our offense is terrible. We're not getting anything right. We three and out. And then we finally get a dime from Brock Purdy, and it just goes right off the palms of the hands of Ayuk. And so, yeah, he's injured. That sucks. That doesn't mean he didn't contribute greatly to this loss. He did. The injury, you hope it's the best. You know, we need Ayuk. You paid that dude $30 million a year. Yeah, it's been a terrible year. He had one good half and then disappeared the second half of that one game that he had a good half. Not great. Let's stay with the wide receivers. Debo Samuel. Now, I understand. I said this to my family and my wife. I could tell did not like what I said. So here, I'm not that I'm going to pull what I said. I have coached football for a very long time. I have played football for a very long time in my life. And I talked about how Debo Samuel's worst game of his career was against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And how, yeah, he was injured and played through it, and that's great and admirable, but, like, dude just laid an egg. You're sick. Now, sickness and illness is a real thing, and that happens. I understand that. But if you're sick, don't fucking stand on the sidelines and cheer on your team. Get your ass inside and get whatever you need, because if you're sick but not sick enough to stand out there, put your damn helmet on, be a decoy. Do something. Like, I'm sorry. Again, coach here. Like, people would be like, oh, I'm sick. You know, I'm not going to school today, but I'm going to play in the game tonight, coach. No, you're not. If you're too sick to sit inside a classroom, you're too sick to play. You either go to school or you don't play. And if you are too sick to be out, like, you're not going to come stand on the sidelines if you're sick. You've got to show up. So which one is it? Are you too sick to play? Then why are you on the sidelines in the sun standing up on your feet? No. That's not sick. Like, you either need to be in a freaking hospital bed or you need to be out there fighting with your brothers, period. That's all there is to it. Like, and I understand a lot of people are going to completely disagree with me on this. And this is coming from a coaching perspective. I'm sorry. That's some soft as baby shit type stuff. Like, I understand. He's probably not feeling good, throwing up, diarrhea, don't care. Are you, you can stand up on the sidelines? Then get your ass out there. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not a person of compassion. You're one or the other. You're either sick and you need to go to the hospital, or you're playing football. Those are the only two things. That's it. Everybody is out. Juwan Jennings is out. Ayuk's broken in half. And people are like, well, he tried to go. That's kind of cool. And it was cool. But then to see him just chilling on the sidelines, just hanging out. No. If you can do that, put your damn helmet on and get out there. Period. 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 Slick, thank you for the super chat. He says, I ain't going to say all these things. He says, Diva wasn't sick when he was doing his podcast with Kittle. Yeah, soft, frustrated. Yes, those are real things. And so, like, I'm not saying players shouldn't do podcasts. I'm not saying players shouldn't hold out for contracts. I'm not saying any of those things. I am saying when you do all of those things, you invite criticism. You invite that in. You do. You brought that on yourself, period. That's what I am saying. And so I'm with you, Slick. Like, yeah, doing a podcast ain't a bad thing. I don't care if it's in season. Like, the amount of time that you are with the team and working out and training, everybody needs downtime. And people go out and get their money. I love all those things. But don't talk trash. And that's another thing that bothers me is your biggest freaking game that you've had of your career, the Super Bowl, you laid an egg. And as soon as that team comes back into your house, I'm sick, coach. Sick. I'm not saying he's not sick. I know he's sick. But you can't stand on the sideline if you're sick. I'm sorry. Get your ass inside. Get your Pedialyte. Do what you got to do. Like, figure that out. That ain't it, man. It's life or death, and it should be treated as such. You're getting paid millions of dollars. And again, if he wasn't staying on the sidelines the whole damn game, I would not be feeling this way. But every time they showed him on the sidelines, man, I was just furious. How could you possibly be a man and watch your teammates going through what they're going through and just stand there and cheer and clap? I don't know. Let me look at this. I don't know how many people are going to be like, dude, that's horrible. And that's okay. These are my opinions. The chat is bumping. I'm sorry. I missed a lot of it. But like, I'm mad. Jose, John cuss. My ears hurt. Yeah, therapy and celebration session. Sorry. I'm going to let the cuss words go because I'm upset and you should be upset. Like, this is our team. Yeah, I say our team. I say we whenever I say 49ers. We literally pay all the stuff that builds that thing. Yes, we. Right here, AJ, totally agreed about being on the sidelines. Yeah, I like the John Cuss. I do like that one. Why be active if you're sick? Yeah, you could have called up. You could have said, like, if Debo can't go, he didn't do any of the warm-ups. They announced all the promotions. So, 24 hours in advance. So maybe it's a 24-hour bug. 24-hour bug? That's going to keep you out of a game? Really? Diarrhea? Like, freaking come on, man. Take some Imodium. Take some Pedialyte. Let it out. Freaking Dumb and Dumber that stuff in the toilet. Get back out there. Like, you do what you got to do. Like, that cannot. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Right here. This goes into my psyche, what sports are. AJ expected a Jordan flu game out of him. Players get sick all the time. Players don't get sick all the time and stand on the sidelines. Whew. Sancho, love the F-bomb. I can't stop saying it right now with this damn team. It's frustrating. Laura, Debo spends more time on the bench than a cheerleader. He wouldn't even sit down. That dude's standing up like a cheerleader. Debo would rather podcast. I love this, man. I'm so upset, man. Let's transition. Well, hold on. I want to talk more. I want to stick to wide receivers. And probably my biggest Kyle Shanahan critique, okay? And Kyle deserves blame for this game. He cannot score points against the Chiefs. He can't do it. 18, 17, 19. No, he can't do it. My biggest Shanahan critique is, why the hell is number 10 still playing for this team? When somebody has continuously showed you who they are, that they cannot be counted on, and that interception for Purdy. Brock Purdy sucked today. Again, Brock Purdy's worst game, I think, since he's played in the NFL. That interception on the out route to Ronnie Bell wasn't on Ronnie Bell. And I'm sure Shanahan's going to go out there and say, it wasn't really on anybody. It was a miscommunication, or what. He might throw Purdy under the bus to protect Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell has evidence damning against Kyle Shanahan. I don't know how. That was 100% on Ronnie Bell. Like, you don't run a comeback route. Like, how often do the 49ers wide receivers run comeback routes to the sidelines? We don't. We run out routes. Why? That's Brock Purdy's favorite route to throw all the time. We always run out routes. We run comebacks in the middle of the field. We don't run comebacks very often on outbreaking routes. We just don't. And on that play in particular, you were not supposed to. Once the film comes out, we'll break down every single play, the49ersrush.com and our Patreon, best way to support the show. And I'll show you why. I'll literally show you this is why you don't do this. You fade into the cornerback. Whenever the quarterback is playing deep, you play into. You don't come back on that. He was throwing it before the break. Ronnie Bell's terrible. Ronnie Bell's going to Ronnie Bell, okay? I don't blame Ronnie Bell for being Ronnie Bell. He's scared of the lights, can't show up in primetime moments. He's terrified of being part of a football team in pressure situations. He's a practice squad player only. That's Ronnie Bell. Not his fault. It is Kyle Shanahan's fault. How many times, how many games do you have to lose before you understand who number 10 is? How many games? How many games? It cost you games last season, cost you games this season. That was the defining moment of this football game. You are driving to take the lead. To take the lead. Or tie, whatever. And like, you've got all the time in the world. Like, 14 minutes left in the fourth. Runs the wrong route. And so then it's like, okay, maybe Kyle Shanahan figures it out. Nope. Sends number 10 out there the very next season. Or the very next series. Meanwhile, Jacob Cowan's sitting on the damn bench. Sitting on the bench. Just sitting out there. With Debo, watching number 10 play. Really? We got Jacob Cowan, who is a legitimate NFL wide receiver, the biggest play today, sitting watching Ronnie Bell play. That's in the script, huh? That's what we're doing. And then even after Jacob Cowan had his huge catch, biggest play of the day for the 49ers offensively, terrible pass from Brock Purdy. It's a good pass. He had pressure. But if you lead him the ball, it's a touchdown. We had a bonus bet, like $2 on Jacob Cowan scored a touchdown. Should have happened. But even after Cowan made that huge catch, biggest play of the day, guess what? Kyle Shanahan benches him. Three straight plays, Ronnie Bell in his spot. Three straight plays in the goal line. What? Like, I get it. Okay, hey, I just ran a deep route and burnt my guy by 15 yards. Had to come back because it was a bad pass. Still secured the catch. Coach, let me hop out, get a breather. Then I'll jump back in. No, no, no. You stay on the sidelines. Fourth round pick this year who's been consistently good. We need to get number 10 in there for not one play, not two plays, all three plays in the red zone. Because Ronnie Bell is that crucial to our success, and he's done so many positive things for the 49ers' his career. I understand you just had the biggest play of the game. I get that. Jacob Cowan, I understand. But you got to wait. We got to get this madman number 10 in there, baby. Because, yeah, Ronnie Bell and the Michigan Wolverines, they coming for you. They're going to change everything. Wrong. 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 Now, that is why, that's my number one critique of Shanahan. What the hell? Why is number 10 in there? Why? I cannot understand any reason. None. Oh, he could block well. I don't care. Let him block Debo on the sidelines. Let him hang out on the sidelines because that dude should not be playing football for the 49ers. You're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. You're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. Ugh.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas. You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he's struggled. 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work, you put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
AJ, can we bounce back next week against the Cowgirls, Cowboys? Yeah, I mean, you can. They're a bad football team. But here's the true situation, okay? And I'm going to be let me go to my Twitter feed, because I'm trying my hardest to limit some of these cuss words. I might let them all go. Here's what I tweeted out, okay? This is a little bit more well thought out. 49ers will fall to 3-4. We have a losing football team. The Seattle Seahawks destroyed the Falcons, so now we're back and we're no longer in first place. Don't deserve it. Okay, the 49ers will fall to 3-4 on the year. I would argue their record is better than what the 49ers have put on tape. Horrible tackling continues. That was the most important thing this week. All week talked about how important tackling was going to be. You heard Nick Sorensen talk about how important tackling was going to be. You knew that's what it was going to be. Whenever it came down to it, piss down your leg, watch Mahomes run over you. And not one play, but two plays. Even the touchdown run, you got trucked by Mahomes, Malik Mustafa. Like, I can't believe the NFL is going to let you play anymore. And I thought he had a good first half, but that's who this team is. Pressure situation, goal line, fourth quarter, our toughest player on defense, I think that is Malik Mustafa with Dre Greenlaw out, pissed down his leg. Got trucked by Kermit the Frog. Trucked at the goal line. Embarrassing. Fred Warner. I have been saying the best player in the NFL. Fourth quarter. Third down. Biggest play of the game. Just gets shrugged off by Patrick Mahomes. Get off me. D. Winters, who I thought played better than any linebacker we had all day. D. Winters was lights out until it mattered. He has a huge miss on Patrick Mahomes on the same play that Fred Warner missed. And then everybody just stops running because we are not a team with swarm mentality. We are not a team defensively that just plays lights out, all you could do effort all the time. We're not. That's not who we are. We're not coached to be that. Nick Sorensen is not the coach to get that out of them. Has not been so. Whenever you're a defense and your worst quarter every game is the fourth quarter, you're not a good defense. Look at the numbers and you'd be like, man, defense actually wasn't too bad. Really wasn't. Oh, you gave up 329 yards to Patrick Mahomes. That's not bad. But then whenever you look at, okay, what happened when it mattered? When they got into the red zone, the Chiefs went 4 of 5. And they're not even a good red zone team. They've been a field goal team all year. They're not even good in the red zone. They're, in fact, worse going into this game than the 49ers were at red zone scoring. How crazy is that? They have cashed in. What's their – here we go. They're the 29th. They had a 38% red zone touchdown percentage. 29th out of 32 teams. We are better than them. Until our defense gets out there and the situation matters, Nick Sorensen, and you, every single third down, you go freaking man. Every single time, you telegraph man coverage. And guess what? You keep putting Jair Brown man coverage on Travis Kelce. They don't even have a damn wide receiver we can name. Xavier Worthy got knocked out of the game. Malik Mustafa, he popped the crap out of him. Juju Smith-Schuster, he got hurt. He was out of the game. Justin Houston, out of the game. They're playing guys worse than Ronnie Bell. That's not possible. And we're still manning up our safety against Travis Kelce? What the hell? Not even our good safety. Jair Brown has sucked all year. Why would you keep putting him in man coverage on Travis Kelce? Continuously. Continuously on third down. What the hell is wrong with you, Nick Sorensen? Like, I want to give you an opportunity and to be like, yeah, it's okay. Nick Sorensen's first year DC. He's learning. No, he's not. He's not learning anything. Yeah, you can play really, really good in between the 20s, but as soon as the team gets in the red zone or it's third down, oh, man coverage, fake blitz, man coverage, fake blitz, every time. It's like this dude doesn't know you're allowed to call something else. Nick Sorensen, ugh. And so, like, again, that goes back to Kyle. Should Kyle fire him? I don't think so. Not now, maybe after next week. But, like, any opportunity that Nick Sorensen could do anything, anything to, like, give any kind of confidence? Dude, just the Chiefs scored 28 points today. That's the most points they've scored in 30 games. And they had no wide receivers and no running backs. None. And oh, somebody's like, well, they caused all those turnovers. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the turnovers. Because, yeah, they turned the ball over a lot. The two interceptions, right? So, the one interception, player just falls down. And so, that was huge. Player falls down. D'Amador Lenore takes it all the way down. The only time we got really points off turnovers. Charvarius Ward made that interception, which was awesome. That was a good play by Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward had two good plays this game. One, he got burnt by Travis Kelce on a double move, but made up for it, got the pass breakup. No, he didn't have the interception. My bad. Who had the other interception? There it is. Oh, Kalia Davis. Yeah, big paw up. It just made a freak play. That's not on Sorensen. Neither one of those two turnovers were on Sorensen. But you know, you could say the turnover whenever they went for it on fourth down early and you stopped them. We had our defense out there. I don't put that on the special teams. You just went, look, keep your defense out there, safe punt return. That's a Kyle Shanahan move that he didn't make earlier in the year against the Rams. Did make it here and you delivered there. But like, I don't know. Let me ask you guys, what is your scale of 1 to 10? What is your confidence level in our defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, moving forward? 10 being this guy's incredible best DC of the year, 1 being worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. Like 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in our defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen? Mine, every time I like watch the first half, it jumps up and then it goes down. It jumps up and then it goes down. And any time that he plays against anybody that's a decent play caller, just gets toasted in the fourth quarter. Toasted. Gave up 14 points. They only scored 28. So you gave up 14 points in the fourth quarter. And we knew that the Chiefs were going to be a fourth quarter team. They have been forever. They always have been. We never have been. But like, you have 14 points in the fourth quarter. That's terrible. To one of the lowest scoring offenses in the NFL, you have 14 points. 14. Yeah, you look at these numbers. 3, 2, 0, 4, 1, 0, 2, 3, 2, 5 at best, 3, 4, 1, 2. Yeah, negative 10. Thank you, Diego. Agent 0, a lot of zeros. I'd say mine's like a 3.5. Like, the number one thing that a coach needs to do is give your players an opportunity to win the game. Give them an advantage so that everybody understands what's going on and everybody is in a better situation moving forward. Nick Sorensen does not do that, especially on third downs. Third downs, that dude, let Brandon Staley call third downs. Let anybody, let Fred Warner call them. Just running man defense every single time on third down is the dumbest shit you can do. And putting Jair Brown, your worst safety man coverage guy, against their only viable receiving threat, not once, but twice on third downs on the closing drive. Oh, freaking idiot. Idiot. Adam Schefter, 40 yards. Kyle Shanahan told reporters team is worried Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL. Yeah, that was the fear. And if that's the case, yeah, he's done for the year. That's 9 months. Maybe next year he'll be good. He'll actually be able to go through some training camp. So, you know, you're talking, it's the end of October now. So, you know, the 9 months, you're talking into July and all those things. You can't hold out again and make jokes about, ha, 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 I probably could have ended it sooner. Now, was this injury have anything to do with the holdout? No, but him sucking all year sure as hell did. And so hopefully he gets better and we get him back next year. But anything for 11, that's done. That is done. He's not going to play this year. So that's over with. There is now an opportunity. The 49ers' number one wide receiver moving forward is Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is going to move into that X role, and rightfully so. You put him there, and then you put Juwan Jennings in the slot. You put Juwan Jennings at X. You put Debo whenever he's not sick and not dehydrated. You put him at Z. And then your slot should be starting Jacob Cowing and then Ricky Pearsall in there. It's bad, man. It's bad. Grand A says, on defense, I trust Jimmys and Joes more than X's and O's. Yeah, and we didn't win that one either. Again, just talking about the idea. Defense was decent. You know, you look at just the box score. You give up 14 points in the second quarter. A lot of those were turnovers and whatever else. But, like, you know, they got points off turnovers. We did not. 14 points in the second quarter, 14 points in the fourth quarter. Not great. And just so many missed tackles. They rushed for 184 yards. A lot of that is because Patrick Mahomes, you let him just run all over you because you're scared to tackle Superman number 15. He had 39 yards rushing. Mecole Hardman at the end of the game, that 20-yard rush, that was embarrassing. We struggle with speed. Charvarius Ward refuses to help anybody in the run game. That dude is allergic to playing physical football. Charvarius Ward, allergic. All their big plays were all wherever Charvarius Ward was. They ran right outside to him. Man, so bad, so bad. Knees, appreciate the super chat. No matter what defense did, offense was abysmal. Blown opportunities. Let's talk Brock Purdy. I'm with you, Knees, 100%. Now, man, we actually, our day wasn't awful as far as betting. It should have been better. We covered on a couple. The sad thing is we had 49ers plus 8.5. That didn't hit. That messed up our teasers. So we had a down week, but we're still up positive on the year. I crunched the numbers right before it. I was like, ooh, we're still positive. But if you are going to bet at any point this year, whether you want to bet on who the next coach being fired is, there's odds on that. Here's where you go to.
You know football. You watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics? any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 490ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Now, back to Nee's comment. He says, no matter what the defense did, offense was abysmal, blown opportunities. You know, every single time that the 49ers play the Chiefs, Kyle Shanahan just throws a dud. Now, offensively, it was not the best for several reasons. And, like, there are some games where I feel like, okay, Shanahan, this is on Shanahan. And then there's some games where I feel like, okay, this is a little bit more on the players. This, I think this was more on the players. I have to go through the tape because there were players open. Now, I hated they're blitzing like crazy the first half, and we just keep calling 5 and 7 step drops. That's stupid. Like, you need quick hitters. You need quick hitters. And the one or two times you ran a quick hitting play, you know, screenplay or whatever, it kind of worked. Like, I don't understand why you don't do that. Offensively, this game sucked. I do think this was Brock's worst game of his entire career. Now, running the ball, I remember I said, dude, if the Chiefs' run defense is incredible. It has been all year. It's top five. But if you got 4 yards a carry, that's a huge win. If you get 4 yards a carry, you should run the ball 40 times. The 49ers got, you know, averaged, we just look at their rushing, 4.2 yards per carry. She only ran the ball 24 times. That's not going to cut it. That's play calling. That is on Kyle. Now, it's also on third down efficiency. You went 2 for 11. 2 for 11 on third downs. No sustained drives. None. That's on Brock Purdy, missed assignments, drop passes, wide receivers not looking for the thing, penalties, you know, Ronnie Bell, playing Ronnie Bell, all those things. The offense just could not sustain. 2 of 4 in the red zone. And those two times you got in the red zone, you got no points. None. So, like, 2 touchdowns and then 2 turnovers. You can't turn the ball over. You lose the turnover, but it was 3-3. So, we actually didn't lose the turnover battle, which is crazy. But you look at Brock Purdy. Dude goes 17 of 31. That's like 50%. Just barely above 50% completion. Not efficient. 212 yards, not good. No touchdown passes. 3 interceptions. 1 sack. It's not even like he didn't get hit. There were quarterback hits. They had 6. We had 8. Brock Purdy didn't get hit near as much. Shoot. Mahomes was sacked more and had more quarterback hits. Brock Purdy was bad. His 2 best throws were not good. The deep ball to Kittle was underthrown. Should have been a touchdown. We didn't even get points on that drive because of Brock Purdy. The deep ball to Cowing was underthrown. Should have been a touchdown. We didn't even get points on that drive. You see what I'm saying? Like, stacking good plays is what good teams do. We could do that. Now, shout out to my man V. Appreciate the super chat, V Malik. Spags is the joker ahead of the curve. Saw it all. Yeah, he came out and, you know, put him in our place early. Things started to calm down. And, you know, you could say, like, well, we had one wide receiver that was in the infirmary. We had one wide receiver that got broken in half. Ayuk's season's probably done. Juwan Jennings is out with a hip. But then you flip the script. Oh, well, CMC's not out there. All right, cool. Well, guess what? Their number one running back is out. Their top 3 wide receivers are out. Same thing. You got to show up. It's not a game about excuses. It's not. And they had a very similar situation on the road. Now, obviously, the 49ers are way more banged up than the Chiefs are. Oh, man, Brock Purdy sucked today. 36.7 rating. Like, Patrick Mahomes was bad. He had a 44 rating. Slightly better. But you add in, Patrick Mahomes had 5 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown. Brock Purdy had 8 carries, 27, 2 touchdowns. So that offsets it. But, like, I don't think anybody would say who was better, Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy. They both sucked, but Mahomes was better, especially whenever it mattered, right? Like, his biggest plays always come on 3rd and 4th down all the time. And let's talk about this. Let's get into, I'm seeing a lot of fire, Kyle. And let's talk about it, okay? At the Last Trumpet Podcast, what's up? Appreciate it. Anytime the talk of parting ways with Kyle, people lose it. No one says he's not a good coach with an offensive mind, but every relationship doesn't make it to the last ring. He's been defeated by two contemporaries. Reed punks him every time. Fans in 79, the party is over. Awesome comment. My thing is, and again, I go back to this. I'm not sure that this was the biggest Kyle Shanahan's should be fired game. I think that his loyalty, and I always joke about this, right? The Shanahan loyalty program, like his loyalty to players and coaches is a fault, probably his biggest fault. I'm not saying he should fire, you know, the defensive coordinator should fire Brian Schneider. That dude sucks. Brian Schneider should be fired 100%. But his loyalty to players and to scheme and to all these different things is an issue. It is an issue. But like again, I don't know. Like who are you going to replace him with? We can't even hire a DC or a special teams coach. No, I do not think Kyle Shanahan should be fired. I do not. Do I think that the window is closed? I do not. Are we in a bad position behind the eight ball? Yes, we are. We're one game out of first place in the NFC. Like, we're one game. And we control our own destiny because we get to play every single team in our division again. Like, is the schedule good? It's not. Four out of six teams are coming to us off of a bye. The Chiefs were the first one. Three out of the next five teams we play will be coming off a bye. That's stressful. That sucks. Almost every single team on the schedule has a winning record besides the Arizona Cardinals and the Rams, who both beat us. Am I sitting here saying the 49ers should be Super Bowl favorites? They should not. Should they be NFC favorites? They should not. Should they be the NFC West favorites? They should. They are better than the Seattle Seahawks. I know the Seahawks handle business day against the Falcons, but no. So I don't think it's like time to like blow it up. You still got a good roster. There's some major changes that need to be made. And will those changes take place? I don't know. That's where I do not have faith in Kyle to make changes. I really wish he would. I wish somebody would step in and say, get that special teams coordinator the hell out of here. Get number 10 off the damn team. Like, it's very simple. Make some changes, Kyle. Make some changes. Because this team keeps getting their ass whipped by teams that want it more. This is three times you play teams that are not that great. And I know the Chiefs are 6-0. That was not a good football team. It was not a good football team. Like, you kept giving them all this life. You kept giving it to them, and they took it. They'd give us something, and we'd say, nah, we don't want it. We played hot potato with our chances. Thank you, John G, for the super sticker. Much appreciated, man. Yeah, Ed, our new kicker almost had to make a tackle again. Are you kidding me? We're trying to get every kicker injured. yeah, I would not want to play kicker for us. Not with how we coach our special teams. It's terrible. Phil, what's up, brother? Jed needs to open the checkbook, bring Sala back. You know, Sala came out and said he's not going anywhere this year. He's taking the year off. A lot of that has to do with contracts, right? Because he's getting paid by the Jets, and usually built into those contracts is if you go coach somewhere else, Jets don't have to pay you anymore. So, like, he would almost lose money. I don't know. That's usually how these head coaching contracts work. So, if, like, Sala did come be DC, he's doing it basically for free because he would lose what the Jets are paying him. So, like, I don't know y'all's situation. I know, Phillip, you dressed all nice in there in that picture you got there. But, like, yeah, I would like to have Sala back. I would. I would love to have him. I would rather have a new special teams coordinator. I would prefer that. But, yeah, right here. David, this is where John Lynch needs to step up and challenge Kyle about special teams. Yeah, somebody got to. How long can you be so bad at that? Jason, what is Brandon Staley bringing to the team? What would you say you do here? What would you say you do here? He runs the turnover period, which the 49ers are forcing turnovers. So that's, you know, we're doing that. But, yeah, What's our ranking defensively? Turnovers, we're sixth, and we forced two more. The turnover on downs doesn't count technically as a turnover, but all coaches always count that. So, like, we're top five in turnovers. Like, we're doing that. But, yeah, let's give Brandon Staley some more. I'd prefer him to be my DC over whatever. Nice, solid, doesn't bring Greenlaw back. Hopefully we get him back in the next month. He looks like he can fight, that's for sure. DJ, no heart. Yeah, thank you. You just have soft, like, you know, I love football arguments and discussions and EPA and all these things. I get those things and efficiency numbers and rankings. But, man, football, at its truest nature, you boil it down to the most common elements. It's about physicality, toughness, heart. It's a barbaric, violent sport. And whenever you have guys that can't suit up and play because I'm sick. I can't play, coach. I'm sick. I'm just going to stand over here. No, I'm not that sick, but I'm sick. What the fuck is that? What is that? Debo's the toughest dude. His name is Debo. Could you imagine they make like Debo 2 or Debo, I'm sorry, Friday 2 or Friday 3, and they had a scene in there where Debo's like, sorry, I'm too sick. Maybe we need a new name. I love Debo. And again, I said at the start of the show, if you get upset by somebody being criticized, this ain't the show to watch. I love Debo Samuel. I love that man. But God, I'm too sick. I'm too sick. I can't play. But I must stand over here. I'm not that sick, but I'm too sick for that. Oh! Ugh! Golly, man. Yeah, Jason, we used to be a bully. We used to be a bully. Now we got people punching Trent Williams in the back of the head. That's bullshit, by the way, what happened. Like, I understand the second person gets caught. And yes, Trent Williams should have been ejected, but that other dude should have been ejected. It should have been a penalty on him. That was ridiculous that that was not called. That's a New York upstairs call. They saw that, and they still did. I mean, it was obviously a very lopsided called game. You only call holding calls on one team repeatedly. I'm not saying that they're not holding calls. I'm saying you have to equally call games. People don't understand when you criticize officials, or whenever I do it, I'm criticizing not on penalties that are being called. I'm criticized on calling games both ways to balance the game field out. You don't call holding penalties on one team and one team only consistently all every damn time these two teams play. You only call it on one side, but you don't call on the other side. Watch the Leonard Floyd holding call on one of the third down rushes. Egregious. Watch the freaking Nick Bosa holding call on another one of the third down Mahomes rush attempts. Absolutely egregious. But then you watch the holding calls against the 49ers, and it's like, I guess that could be called, maybe, but it's not being called the same way. You call it offsides on Bosa on one of the most crucial drives of the whole game, and he wasn't even offsides. He wasn't even offsides. You got Trent Williams getting punched in the back of the head. This is a dude with cancer. Not that that does that, but like, dude, if you're a dude that literally had cancer and you had to have like surgery in your head, and then somebody punches you in the back of the head, you're going to freaking trip out. And I know Trent always trips out, and I was glad he did. I wish he would have DDT'd that dude into submission. That's what I wish he would have. I wish, like, I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, you're being a child. Don't fight back. I'm not that guy. Not on the football field. I ain't that on the football field. I'm not that in real life. Somebody want to stick their finger in your face and start something? You fucking finish it. Period. That's just what it is. But, like, I don't know, man. And so, like, there's so many of those. You didn't lose the game because of officiating, but it sure as hell made it a lot harder. And whenever you're playing against number 15 and Andy Reid and the back-to-back Super Bowl champs, maybe they don't always need the the refs' help every single freaking time. Maybe you're allowed to call a holding penalty against the opposing team one time ever. Maybe. Just maybe, NFL. I know Tom Brady can't, like, criticize him because he's part owner and whatever else. It's total bullshit. It's total bullshit. It is totally ridiculous. Big Mix, appreciate you. Debo gave the bike back today. Yes, he did. Debo gave the bike back and the chain. Did your grandma give you that chain? No, man, that's different. He gave it back. I mean, and it's funny because you know, like whenever I think about Deebo Samuel, I think about the Eagles and that game that was terrible and we lost the NFC Championship. He kept talking trash all offseason. Then he showed up and he just, you know, three touchdowns, wore black, showed up, right? But then it was almost the same situation just a year later. Has a terrible game against the Chiefs. They shut his ass down in the Super Bowl. Worst game of his entire career. And then he has all offseason, doesn't say anything. Never said anything. Never, like, wasn't the Deebo that we're used to. And then he had a chance to show up. I'm sick. This is, and there's no doubt that he's sick. I'm just saying, gosh, man. Ugh. Anyway, John, appreciate the super chat. Why did Kyle kick a field goal when it was 12-14? This is why Kyle makes me mad. You know, it's funny because I thought it was a great decision to kick the extra point instead of going for two. I thought that was a smart decision. It was early in the game. When was that? Here we go. Let's pull this up. Yeah, it's the third quarter. It was the start of the third quarter. You come out. It's 14-6. You go out there. You score it. Then it's 14-12. I thought kicking the extra point was smart because you've been terrible at short yardage situations, and I don't go to the card until the fourth quarter and in certain situations. So you scored the touchdown. You kicked the field goal. I just thought that was, I don't know. We were so terrible at short yardage. I didn't want to do it. I thought that was a good call. He misses. He shakes it. But, yeah, I mean, if you just go back to the times you got into the red zone, you got in there four times. Two trips to the red zone resulted in 0 points. Ah, that is a killer. Even if those two were just, you know, field goals, now you're at 24. Obviously, that last drive where the 49ers quit, that adds into it. But yeah, John, yeah, I don't know. The decisions that Kyle Shanahan makes are usually questionable and on the side of conservative. Yeah. Yeah, right here. Filthy casual. Chris Jones wasn't a big factor. Dominic Pooney, everybody played relatively well against him. Let's see here. Where is Chris Jones? He had one tackle. No sacks, no tackle for losses, no pass deflects, no quarterback hits. You neutralize their best player. Other people, not really even other people showed up. We just threw the ball at the other team consistently. We dropped the pass whenever it mattered most. We ran the wrong route. Didn't stick with the run game. You know, the best two passes that Brock Purdy had today was a wheel route to Kyle Juszczyk. It was amazing defensive play, but it was a perfect pass. Should have been caught. And then the third down to Ayuk, which went off both palms of his hands. So, like, yeah, I don't know right here, DJ. Can we trade Roddy Bell for a 10% ownership of the Raiders? Like Mark Davis makes that trade. I like it. Just get that dude the hell out of the building. Just get him out of the building. Yeah, Cam, he says, you know, y'all neutralized Kelsey and Jones, but not 15. I mean, we really beat ourselves tremendously. And Patrick Mahomes, if you give him opportunity, he's going to cash in. And he cashed in. Whenever showed it, like Patrick Mahomes, this is one of his worst games of his career. Shoot, 16 of 27, 154 yards, two interceptions, no touchdown passes, 44. I mean, this is, you held Patrick Mahomes to one of the worst games of his career, but he still won. And that's what they've been doing all year. So respect to them finding ways to win because you won't be denied, as opposed to all the game's close and it's in the fourth quarter, time to become soft. Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. They should sponsor the 49ers because we're soft as baby shit. We really, really are. When it matters, the 49ers are soft. The captains, soft. 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 Leon, appreciate the super chat. Should NFL adopt the XFL's penalty challenges? Not blaming the refs for this game, but coaches having penalty challenges. Yes. I can't stand officials. I can't. Never let your kids grow up to be refs. Don't, because when you're in that position, eventually something happens where you say, I need attention on me. I need this to be about me. And you always make it about you. You didn't lose this game because of the refs. They sure as hell made it harder. They sure as hell made it harder. Oh, man. right here, Monkey, says, this year's just showing how badly we kick our own butts and other teams knowing how to finish. Look, man, if you're playing the 49ers, you're talking all week in practice. Guys, at no point are you out of this game. They will give you chances to win. Just don't beat yourselves. Stay cool. Stay calm. Don't worry. Don't worry. They're going to constantly let you back in the game in all three phases, whether it's interceptions, drop passes, whatever, whether it's defensive blown assignments, penalties, being soft, not tackling, special teams, good Lord. Almost blocked two punts today. DFF's back, baby. DFF is back. Letting guys cross inside your face on punt protection. We have done it all year. All year, because we don't know how to coach. Like, the most basic premise in punt protection, right? They're rushing the punter, and I'm blocking, is you don't let somebody cross your face and let them go to the inside. We do it every punt. We do it every punt. Every single one. We got lucky we didn't have two of those blocked. The kicks almost were blocked, too. Oh, man. Tariblay, I don't even know if this is a choke, Bobo. I know that's your thing. You always talk about Shanahan choking. I don't know if this was a choke. Like, we were down. I mean, we were down. At no point were we up. It was 14 to 12. That was the closest. We're up 3-0. We're up 3-0. They score 14 straight. We kick a field goal right before the half. So 14-12, like, I don't think this is really a choke. We just never, they took it. It's not like I don't know, man. Yeah. Shanahan deserves to be criticized. Yes. I don't call this a choke job. This is just bad, bad. He was bad. Greenlaw, what'd you think of Pudi? Obviously, interior offensive line play is almost impossible to watch off of the broadcast. The only one I can really see is Jake Brindle, because after every single play, you see 64 staring at whoever's tackling the ball carrier repeatedly or quarterback. Yeah, I'm going to go through that on the tape for sure, but it seems like Pudi played great off the top of my head. But, like, again, it's hard to watch guard play. And then even then, you can only watch guard play on, like, the second and fourth quarters, depending on where the broadcast camera is from the sidelines. All 22 is where it's at. And, again, we'll break down every play. The49ersRush.com and our Patreon in the link in this description of this video. Gosh, man. Now, like, and I got to say this. The season goes on. Yeah, you're 3-4, and I'd say you have a worse team than that, but you're one game out of first place in the worst conference in the NFL division. NFC West sucks. And you got to keep playing. You got the Cowboys next week. Then you got much-needed bye week. Then you go out to Tampa Bay. Like, you could make this work still. That Tampa Bay game is going to be huge, because the way that they bounce back after that bye, it's paramount to the rest of the season. That Bucs game is going to be huge. Now, I know a lot of Florida and Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina people are going to be out there, because that's the closest game to where they're going. We're going to be out there too. We're going to be throwing a party out in Tampa Bay the day before the game with the legend, Frank Gore. We're going to be out at the Brick House Tavern. I'm so pumped about this. Saturday, November 9th, 2 to 8 p.m. Frank Gore, whenever he shows up, we always have a damn good time. I mean, he is just the best. He's been at so many of our parties before. The amount of interaction that he brings with the fans is incredible. Come out, see the legend, get an autograph, meet and greet, all that stuff. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com for those tickets. It will sell out. We do have limited space. We can only sell so many autographs based on the contracts with the player and all that stuff. And then we have our tailgate in Tampa Bay. If you're going out there, we're going to be one block east of the stadium. So excited about this. All you can eat, all you can drink, premium everything. Going to be a blast. Our tailgates, do not miss. I've yet to do a tailgate that we have run out of drinks. We always have more, and we always have a good time. So hopefully you guys come out with us. It's going to be a blast. I know right now, so upset, and rightfully so. But it's a long season. The 49ers have been 3-4 before and made it to the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl. I don't know about the Super Bowl. No, we were not. Never mind. 2019, we were not. 2023, we were not. So we made it to the NFC Championship. So, hey, that's still on the table. Sonia, she says she's from Jersey. Oh, Sonia, I can't wait to meet you. I'll be at the Tampa game. That's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time. Right here, John. Remember, Kyle sucks October through November. Stay faithful. You got to stay faithful. Dr. Bloctopus, Frank Gore is the reason I'm a Niners fan. Damn, I hate living in Australia sometimes. Well, we love you, brother. And if you ever make it up here, first several drinks on me. that's a long one. Right here, Jason, what moves, if any, John, would you try to make at the deadline to improve the team? I think the 49ers are still buyers. You know, I think what a lot of people forget is the NFL has invested a lot of money and changed the format repeatedly to get as many teams into the playoffs as possible and to keep teams alive as much as possible. Seven teams get into the NFC West, or in the NFC, each conference, right? So you should be buyers. You should be. And I think that there are guys out there. Now, you look across the NFL and you see kind of the way, like, the Patriots are a legitimate team that are 100% sellers that you need to go buy. I put this out this morning. Here's just, you know, a list of a handful of players that I would strongly consider going to get. Man, I've tweeted a lot today. Good Lord. My job is a trip, isn't it? Here are some players just that the Patriots, I think, are targets with them. Edge Keon White is a beast. I would like him. Edge Anfernee Jennings. Safety Kyle Duggar. Two tight ends, Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper. I would love one of those moves to get another receiving threat. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. Go get Bourne. Go get Bourne. Ayuk's out. Go get Bourne. Like, he could play that role. Go get Bourne. He's cheap. You can get him for a 6-round pick. Right tackle Michael Onwenu. That'd be an awesome pick. That cost a lot to get him or Keon White. But there are some, you know, some of the types of players. Cleveland, good Lord. You can go get some guys from Cleveland. No doubt about it. Tennessee, yeah, that's rough. Tennessee, that's Red Carthon. You've got history. So I'm buying. I know that this game sucks. And I know with where we are now, but you got to go. The season ain't over. Season ain't over. Uncle Salty, my man. Niners may need to trade Debo just because he can't stay healthy for more than 2 weeks at a time. You ain't lying. And I know there was like a somebody put out there like, oh, I think it was Diane Rossini, who I think she's incredible with the Athletic. But I'm like, man, why would anybody be trying to get – I understand why you would want Debo, but if you look at the dead contract – it doesn't make any sense. If the 49ers trade Debo, they take like a $31 million cap hit. $31 million. Like, I agree with you about the injuries and the being sick. And he is sick. I understand he's sick. I'm not saying he's not sick. That's all I'm saying. I know somebody's going to cut this, and I'm going to be tagged on it. I'm going to get a bunch of hate. That's okay. Bring it on. Freaking haters ball. Hate. I don't care. I love Debo Samuel. But I hate the fact that he was sick and sat his ass on the sidelines. Hate that. Oh, man, if I'm sick, you got to put me in a hospital bed with an IV and, like, I'm about to redline. You understand that? Like, what? Oh. I remember, I don't know if anybody else had these rules. I don't know if my mom's watching. She watches sometimes. When we missed school, what was the rule? I'm too sick. I can't go to school. Well, if you're sick, you stayed in bed all day, no TV, no video games. You were like in a freaking, you were Andy from Shawshank if you stayed home sick. You couldn't do anything to the point where you got so damn bored. You were like begging, Mom, I'm better now. I can do chores. No, you're sick. You keep your ass in that bed. Like, that's what it was. There was never a time where, like, Mom, I'm sick. I don't know. Maybe your mom, like, lets you stay home from school and play video games. That would, like, does that, like, maybe I'm going too far. I don't know. Yeah, right here, David. I don't get why he's not sitting down on oxygen if he was struggling to breathe in. What, I get that. I know it's faulted logic. I'm just upset. I am just upset. Dude, I would go get DeAndre Hopkins right now. That is somebody that's tough. They always play hard, and they catch whatever you throw to them. He plays the X role. Freaking DeAndre Hopkins on my fantasy. So I can tell you for sure, the Tennessee Titans are not using him. So, yeah, go get him. Max Crosby you couldn't get even if you tried. I would try. DeAndre Hopkins, I think you could get for like a pick swap. We'll give you a 6th. You give us a 7th. I'd do that 100%. There's a lot of guy. Sid, thank you. I see Sid. I know if Cynthia agrees with me, I know I'm not too far over the edge because she's a sweetheart. Thank you, Sin. Agreed. I hate soft stuff. Yes. Yes. Whew. David, I really wish the Browns trade for BA happened now. I wish that trade happened the whole time, before, during, and after. The injury sucks. Injuries are always bad. But yeah, it's what it is. It's what it is. Right here, Greenlaw. Would you rather trade for Sexy Dexy, Micah Parsons, Miles Grant, or Max Crosby? Dexter Lawrence would be the biggest addition to this team. Maybe you could trade for him. What's his contracts are important. And franchise players are important. Miles Garrett is Walter Payton Man of the Year on that team that signed Deshaun Watson. They can't trade him if they wanted to. It would be a PR nightmare. It'd be a PR. And you know what's even more crazy? You know, Deshaun Watson, his Achilles popped today. That was the only way that the Browns could get out of that contract. They're going to save $60 million cap space because they the way they structured that deal, because they have no soul and whatever. That was the only way they could get that trade to go through, because they made it all roster and gay bonuses so that he wouldn't be penalized whenever he got suspended for all the other stuff that he did. And so anyway, they're going to get $60 million cap space back if he did in fact pop his Achilles, which I think happened. So Browns are there. So they've got some extra money now, but yeah, you can't trade for Miles Garrett. Max Crosby maybe, but there's no way Davis will trade to the 49ers. You remember the freaking trade with the stud pass rusher? We offered a better deal than the Bears did, but they traded him, Khalil, over there anyway because they didn't want to trade to the 49ers. Micah Parsons, 0% chance. Sexy Dexy, maybe, because he's amazing. I would love that. Oh, I would love that. Right here, 49ers. Shanahan can't beat the Vikings or Chiefs. It shows where this team is at. It's frustrating, man. Yeah, Ayuk's out for the year. Torn ACL. You could tell torn ACL. Like, you could always say, like, oh, we're going to wait for the MRI. It's very simple. If you ever see them, I'm going to try to demonstrate this very poorly for those that are watching. I'll try to explain it. Like, I just being a coach on the field so many times, and, you know, a player gets hurt. You jog out there with the trainer. Hey, man, you all right? Because these are kids, right? I coach high school down in Duncanville, Texas. You always check on the kid. Injuries suck at the NFL level, but when high schoolers get hurt, that's a much bigger deal. So you always, coach, get out there on the damn field with a hurt kid every single damn time. So you go out there, hey, are you all right? And, I mean, we had three freshman teams, three JV teams, and one varsity team. So it was just games, games, games. And you've been around for so long, you understand. They go out there, they support the leg with both hands, kind of like you're holding a shotgun. Thank Elmer Fudd. And what you do is you lift the calf towards the knee, right? So you lift the calf and you push towards the knee, and then you let go. If you've lift, you push it towards the knee, and then you let go, and it just drops, that's when you know. Again, I'm not a doctor, whatever else, but I can feel it. And there's been games where there's not a, you don't have your medic guy out there at the third JV game on the road, you know, whatever, in East Texas. And sometimes you got to do that check. And I mean, you can tell. You lift the knee up and you let it go. I mean, you can feel there's no resistance. I mean, it's not saying it's foolproof, but a lot of times whenever they show a person that's hurt on the sideline and you'll see them testing it and you'll see the little physical therapist, doctor guy shake his head no, like, I know that look. I know that look. And so if they're already saying that ACL's gone, like, you don't have to, you will do an MRI because there's possible PCL, MCL, all that stuff. But if the ACL's gone, which they're already reporting, DUN, man, done. Done, 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 done. 49ers, you don't feel Kyle Shanahan need help calling plays? Like, Reed has Nagy on his staff? I wouldn't mind it. Kyle ain't going to do it, but I wouldn't mind it. I didn't feel like there were a lot of bad play calls. I understand everybody's talking about how today was oversimplified, and it was. But at the same time, like, you got three brand new receivers in there. You did have the offensive line. And again, like, you can look, Ronnie Bell running the wrong route. You got Ricky Pearsall twice, not even looking for the ball on the route as the ball's in the air. So this game, yeah, I want a checker, and there's always been checkers. Right. So again, you know, early on in Chapman coaching days in the booth, like we would have set up like, okay, we want this play, this player getting the ball this many times, right? I was defensive coach early, but I had offensive responsibilities in the booth. So when the defense is out there, I'm charting and all this stuff and I'm personnel packaging and all that stuff. But whenever the offense is out there, there would be a checklist. Okay, we want our running back one to get 8 touches. We want, you know, our wide receiver one to get 4 targets. We want to, and so like every single play, like you're charting and crossing off. And so like, you know, you'd have all these things built in. Like, okay, running back one just got a carry. I'd cross off one of the open circles, right? And so then at the halftime, you'd like report those things. And sometimes the coach would be like, hey, how many carries does so-and-so have? How many targets have we given to, you know, our number two? How many times have we run out? Like whatever our goals were before then. And you would just have a guy that say, hey, coach, this guy's only got 2 carries. We wanted him to be on pace to have 6 carries by this point. That's what I want. I don't know if the 49ers do that. Shanahan's such a feel guy, such a gut guy. And that's always kind of like, oh, I wasn't feeling it, you know, after that, you know, it's kind of in the moment. I didn't feel like we had the momentum, all those things. So I don't know. Knees. I think it's knees. Appreciate the super chat, man. If I'm mispronouncing, please let me know. Kyle doesn't need help calling plays. He needs someone to make him actually build his own line so his plays can work. Gosh, man, so many plays from the center. And Jake Brindle's coming off his best game of the year. Best game of the year, but yeah, we need more there. And the funny thing is, what did we spend all those resources on instead of offensive line? Wide receiver. What's our major issue today? It was wide receiver. I mean, Kyle went wrong, I guess, on spending all that there. We needed it. Ed, appreciate you. Kyle called the right plays, just this year's team are not performing. It's disorganized, yes. I mean, Brock Purdy was bad. It's hard to win with bad quarterback play, but the Chiefs keep doing it. Patrick Mahomes has 6 touchdown passes on the year with 8 interceptions. And they're 6-0. But the problem is, the 49ers are usually bailed out by optimum offensive play, scoring 30 points all the time. But our other two special teams sucks. That hurts us. This is the most points the Chiefs have scored in 30 games. And they were playing with nobodies. They were playing with nobodies. They were playing with nobodies. Right here, Rainier. This is, I keep going back to this, and we'll spend a lot of time in the offseason. I pray Purdy takes a team-friendly deal or takes the Mahomes deal. That's huge. Because the amount of capital we have, gosh, already given out with Trent, Ayuk, Debo, like future money, void years, all that. I mean, we're going to be all right. The 49ers cap handle it really, really good. We're going to roll forward so much it's huge. But yeah, man, if Purdy can do a team-friendly deal, that's going to help. And, you know, I don't know. It's not my place to say if he should or should not, but as a fan, I sure as hell hope he does. Niners Nation, what's up, bro? John, hot take. 49ers trade with Jets for Mike Williams now that Ayuk is probably done for the year. That'd be awesome. But again, if your issue is injuries, Mike Williams, most injured player ever, running wrong routes, that's Mike Williams too. But he's a deep ball stud. He's a big beast, man. I remember him with Clemson coming out. I would love that. And I think you get him super cheap too. So, yeah. Yeah. Right here, Tommy, special teams legitimately looks like they could give up a touchdown on every play. They could have a punt blocked on every play. They could have a field goal blocked on every play. Every play. They could have the kickoff return for a touchdown every play. They could have a kickoff run back against them on every play. Like, I don't know what's worse. I don't know what the worst thing is. It's all bad. What's good? What is good about the special teams? We had a 55-yard field goal. That was pretty cool. From a guy we just signed off the street. 49ers, I watched the game. Shanahan play call is too conservative. See, I don't know. I want to run the ball more. Like, I know conservative, like deep shots. Purdy missed all the deep shots, man. Yeah, he caught a couple of them. Maybe you're talking about going for it on fourth downs. I want to run the ball more. I don't know if that's conservative. I don't know if that's what you're implying. I apologize if I misread that. Ugh. Knees, we had open receivers. Block blew a lot of it, unfortunately. Yes, he did. It was not Brock's game. It was not right here, dude. That onside kick. Oh my God. Like I'm thankful that happened, because like you couldn't have done anything, right? Like you weren't going to come back and win. You were down 10 points or whatever. And that onside kick that literally went a foot and a half. Like I've seen some fun, like you're around the sport enough times, you see some funny stuff. Like I was angry and I was upset, and I'm setting up for the show because I had everything in the living room with the family. I stayed home today, watched the game with the family. So then I had to move my computer and everything in here. So the game's going on, and I've got it on my computer, and I'm mad, and I'm saying cuss words, and I'm walking, and I'm stomping, you know, up and down from the living room to my office where I record. And then I saw that kick, and it was just like pure comedic relief. Like, just awesome. It was so bad. There's just, what are we the worst at special teams? Everything. David, Cowie ran the same run after the kick return as Hardman, but Chief special team was actually pretty good in coverage. Yeah, I like Cowie. I really, really do. Araldo, what's up, man? No more Super Bowl run. It was great. Time to rebuild. See, man, I understand that, right? Is this team currently as good as the team we had last year? Hell no. Hell no. And did that team make it to the Super Bowl? It did. Did it win the Super Bowl? It did. So, like, logic says, is this team as good as that team that didn't even win the Super Bowl? It's not. Therefore, it's not. But that's the thing about sports. You just got to get into the tournament. You just got to get in. Once you're in, crazy shit happens. And so, do I think that the Super Bowl window is open? I think the playoff window is open. And I think that's enough. And that's exactly what you should be focusing on. If I'm coaching the 49ers, if I'm a 49ers player or a 49ers fan or whatever the hell I am, I don't know what I am, but the playoffs are there. They're right there. You're one game out of hosting a playoff game. Hosting a playoff game. Now, the number one seed lost today. Right, the Lions came out on top. They're 5-1. So you're three games out of first place. Now they got the head to head against you. We'll play Detroit. Maybe Detroit wins out. They lose two games and we beat them. You know, I don't think that the Super Bowl window is quote unquote closed, but we've been spoiled by being in three out of four NFC championships. That's rare. Most franchises don't ever have that. Now, have we got a Super Bowl? I understand that's criticism. But the playoffs are still a very real possibility, an extremely real possibility. Like that ain't over. It really, really isn't. So like I get the frustration, and I get like, are we good right now? We're not. We're 3-4. And again, we're not as good as 3-4. All right. What we put on tape, but can we get better? Is Christian McCaffrey coming back after the bye? And now we got Ricky Pearsall that's actually playing football. How's that going to change? Right? What's that going to look like? Is Dre Greenlaw coming back? These are all legitimate things that, like, all right, it's bad, but you can think about the Giants winning, you know, two Super Bowls as the sixth seed. That's a reality that is recent. The 49ers have made the NFC Championship as a sixth seed. We've done that before recently under Shanahan. You get in, crazy stuff can happen. And this team, the 49ers, even though they're not there now, not saying they can't be. Get some things wrong. You get red hot at the right time. You just got to get into the dance. You got to get into the dance. Right now, the 49ers are outside looking in. That's got to change. Let me see here. Let me check out just the standings real quick. Do they have the playoff standings up? They do. So right now, the 49ers would be the 11th seed. So we are out. We are 3-4. You got to get to the seventh seed. Right now, that's the Chicago Bears at 4-2. But, I mean, shoot, the Seattle Seahawks are 4-3, and we own the tiebreaker against them, and we play them again. So if we go out throughout the rest of the year and just have the exact same record as the Seahawks and beat them, we're in. We're in. The Rams, 2-4. Cardinals, 2-4. It's not too hard to get into the playoffs. From there, let's roll the dice, baby. I'm a gambler. Roberto, thank you for the super chat. I don't know what is wrong with the Niners. All I know is that every player who has gotten the bag has just not played up to those contracts, not hungry. I would say Yeah, most have not. Bosa and Warner and Kittle come to mind. I think that they have. I think that they have. Now, has Nick Bosa had a year like you, his DPOY year? No, but that was like one of the best years ever. But yeah, you're right. You're not wrong. Vince, appreciate you. No Greenlaw, no Debo, no McCaffrey, no Hufanga, no Ayuk. it's a lot. You get so, and here's the good thing. Greenlaw's coming back. Debo's coming back for short intermittent periods unless he's not feeling great. Every time I'm like clear of my anger, somebody makes me mention Debo and I'm not over it. His podcast needs to be sponsored by a Kleenex. Like, I freaking love you, Debo. Should have fucking played. And somebody's out there like, you did. He tried. Then he should have went to the damn hospital. Should have played. We're getting most of these guys back. CMC's coming back after the bye. We'll see how that goes. Hufanga's coming back. That's important. Right now, I'm putting Malik and Hufanga out there. Giant Brown. Ugh. John G, I hear it. Playoffs? We're talking playoffs? And I think that would be, you know, what kind of like speech should Shanahan give? You should be pissed off. We all should be upset. Focus on your division. Focus on the next week. Focus on the Cowboys. The bye will reset. We have one more week. And guess what? You're playing another team coming off a bye. That's okay. You got to go out there. Rainier, thank you, brother. What roster changes, moves, trades down would you do right now? Release Ronnie Bell. Done. Over. Over with. I'm benching Charvarius Ward. I am putting Isaac Yiadom. I love the move that they made where Renardo Green became the cornerback three, right? So you had Demo and Charvarius Ward out there, and then a nickel. You brought on Renardo Green, who played relatively well. I think in the run game, that's a major issue. I am signing to the active roster, Evan Anderson. We could have used him big time today. You got to have that dude out there, period. Devondre Campbell, sorry, bro. Not cutting you, but you are being benched. He already got replaced in two linebacker sets by D. Winters. That was a huge improvement. D. Winters had two bad plays this game. Yeah, they cost the team, and they were on two really big plays. But D. Winters is a plus player. I would move Jalen Graham into that number three spot. DFF, I'm cutting immediately. Special teams, Ace, don't give a damn. I'm tired of this. You're done. Like, you've got to make some moves now. I'm not trading for anybody this week. Unless somebody approaches me. Like, I'm calling and setting up trades. I want to trade next week. The trade deadline is the Tuesday of our bye week. That is when trades should happen. If you get Michael and Wainu in here at right tackle, I'm taking that. If any team will offer us a center, I want John Feliciano activated. You know, he's talked about how he's ready. I want him to start getting reps so we can swap out centers. Again, you ask me what I would do. That's not what Chris Forrester will do. Jake Brindle is his love baby. He will do anything for him. It's kind of like Ronnie Bell and Kyle Shanahan have some type of relationship that is just whatever. I don't know. And so does Forrester and Brindle. I want Feliciano getting those center snaps. He's saying he's ready. Get him out there. He just wants to play. Get him out there. He should be activated. He should be getting some of those. I'm not saying he should take over center now, but start getting him some reps. Let's see. Let's rotate series. That's what I would do. I'm calling everybody trying to swap late picks, offering third round picks for studs. Yeah. Whew. I don't know how y'all feel. Not good. Not great, Bob. but man, this is a low point. That was a winnable game. It's the third winnable game this year that we should have had easily. The only game that I don't think, and that was winnable too, was the Vikings. But the Cardinals game, the Rams game, and this game all feel the same. A worse team, coached better than you, players wanted it more than you, and took a victory from you. All at our home field. One at SoFi, and then two, it's low. We need help. Playoffs are in jeopardy. I'm with you, Niners, Zeno. But RTP, my man, Matthew, the best of the best. Been here before. And ain't Chicken Little time. It's check yourself time, right? There's a difference. Look yourself in the mirror. That's what needs to happen. Coaches, players, everybody, look yourself in the mirror. Look yourself in the mirror. Who are you? You want it? It's there. Stop letting people come in and punk you. Stop that. I don't care about the penalties. Dude, I don't care. Go get a freaking penalty. I do not care. Get fined. I do not care. Not my money. Goes to charity anyway. Who are you going to be? Niners have to decide that. The good news, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is that we know who we are, and we are the faithful, and we are frustrated, and you should complain, and you should show up and whatever your coworker that's a Cowboys, Lakers, Yankees, you know, Celtics fan, he's a fan of all those. They all are. Whenever they talk trash, you love talk trash. We got you this week. Let's see what happens, buddy. I love trash talk. I love it. I talk more trash against myself than almost anybody or my fantasy team and my fantasy chat or whatever. Like, talk trash. But you got to take it too. And just be like, yeah, a team entitled. They think they deserve, they've already earned it, even though they haven't. Like, take that. But we are the faithful. Like, we are not. It's okay to say fire Kyle. That's okay. I disagree with it, but that's okay. We should fire Kyle Shanahan. If that's your take, that's cool. That's not a bad take. Not right now, it's not. But our team is our team, and we are the faithful. We're not Cowboys fans, and we're not Rams fans. There are no Rams fans. No such thing as a Rams fan, right? Those people do not exist. But we are 49ers fans, and we're the best fan base in sports. I believe that. I really, really do, because I go to all these road games, and I see us take over stadiums, and I don't think that's going to change. So we keep supporting. Yeah, you might not listen to as many podcasts this week. I know. After these games, I know. I see the numbers. It's what it is. But we are still fans. And you know what? Here's what I will say as I draw this to a close. And I think this is important. The reason why I am a fan of the 49ers is because I grew up in Dallas, Texas. And I had a stepdad that I hated. I really, really did. And we fought all the freaking time. And for my 10th birthday, to piss him off, I asked for a 49ers jersey. That was it. He said no. I cried fake to my mom. I did the alligator's tears. I was like, this is all I wanted. Really. And she forced that man to spend her money to give me my jersey. It was a Jerry Rice jersey. And I was the happiest man alive. And it was at that period, I wore that jersey all the time. We didn't have a lot. And then later on, a couple years later, I got a 49ers starter jacket. You know, that George Seifert, the Apex pullover. You guys know what I'm talking about? Dallas, Texas. I wore that damn jacket to walk to school both ways, 100 degrees outside. Didn't give a damn. I wouldn't take that starter jacket off. It was just like a sauna in there, man. And I was fat kid. And so this week, I will say this, and I've said this in the past. One of my life goals, or, you know, moving forward, is I never want to miss a 49ers-Cowboys game again. I want to be in person for every single 49ers-Cowboys game moving forward for as long as I'm able. Luckily, my job helps me be at 49ers games. So I'm going to be there this week. I want to be out there. I'm not throwing any events. I am going for me. I'm going for John Chapman, fat childhood self. And that is what is on the docket. That's what we have. So I understand for a lot of people, the Chiefs are your arch nemesis, your rival, the boogeyman, whatever. Nothing we can do about that now. The streak lives on, Mr. Boogeyman, number 15, Andy Reid, Waffle House, fucking menu. It's what it is. Spagnola, mean SOB. He's really good. But the Dallas Cowboys are right there. Here we go. Like, that is what I want. And that is exactly what the 49ers need. You got to go out there. Now, there is no way in hell that the 49ers could be operating like, oh, we got this game. We always beat the Cowboys. You don't always beat anybody. You suck this year. This could be a game. You go out there and you throttle those fucking one-star side of the helmet. That's like, oh, this game is everything. Fix it. I hate the Cowboys more than anybody, and it's not close. It is not close for me. This game means everything. We are the best fan base in sports. We got to act like it. I end every show the same way. Criticize your team. Take your lumps. You better be wearing Niners gear tomorrow. If you got something red, you better freaking wear it. Remind everybody you're a Niners fan. Don't try to slip under the radar. Don't try to dodge that coworker. No, no, no. Get those in now. Get those in now. Because later on, it makes it sweeter. And we're going to beat the Cowboys. Love you guys. God, today sucked. But that's okay. We're going to be here regardless. We ain't going nowhere. We're the faithful. So until next time, as always, stay strong, faith.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.